Welcome to the Modern Outdoor Dynamics Podcast, the official podcast of Mod Outdoors. Now, for your two hosts, Hunter Parrock and Levi Virgili.
Welcome back to the Modern Outdoor Dynamics Podcast. I think we got a pretty cool episode here for Mod 2 for you guys. And man, I want to start out by saying it has been a pretty big week for us, dude.
Yeah, for sure. We've had a lot of big developments. Mod 1 came out last week. Well, 2 weeks ago, I guess now. Been putting a lot of little clips out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Lots of little TikToks, kind of sharing the snippets of it. I think the first episode went pretty well. It was pretty cool. I bet you I've watched it like 3 or 4 times over.
Yeah.
How many times have you watched it?
I've probably watched it upwards of 20, maybe closer to 30. Watched it many and many of times. You could probably stop it and I could probably repeat the next couple sentences.
Oh my gosh. But yeah, lots of milestones this past week. We had the episodes of Live the Wildlife TV with Gus and Jemmy. They finally aired. We had Chase and Gus out, about 2.5 years ago or so, 2.5 years ago?
Well, we had that one, and then also Gus made a surprise visit, like, that's midweek. Right. Yeah. We had a pretty warm day. It was tough fishing, but we went out and made it happen.
Yep, hosted them in the Erie tributaries, and that second trip, it was tough, but man, that first trip, we smoked them, dude.
Yeah.
We second really trip, put it to them.
Second trip. Got into a lot of really fresh chrome fish, too. That was the thing. Not a very high number of fish, but very great quality. Smacked them on the tar rods, too.
Oh, dude, those tar rods. Those things. We were ripping them on those. Oh, yeah. Those were sweet.
Yeah, what were you fishing that day? I think the water was a little low, and I think I debated taking my 2-6.
I ran the 2-6.
I think first time I took 2-6. Second time, I think I took 6-12 because I was expecting big, fat chrome fish.
Yeah, when we were in those smaller waters, 2-6 all day. Oh yeah. I loved bending that thing over. Yeah, among other things, I ended up just sealing the deal on a house and 75 acres.
Yeah, man, congratulations.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I'm so excited. I'm terrified, but above all excited. I'm sure we'll do lots of episodes here as I slowly transform the 75 acres into a whitetail mecca. Going to be doing a high focus on making sure that I maintain the bedding, adding some food as I strategically put some cameras, stands, etc. around the property. Oh man, I'm so excited for that.
Yeah, at some point I'm definitely gonna want to hear a little more about that. You're gonna focus on like soft mast, hard mast, early season, late season, just
honestly, man. It's located between some ag, and I'm gonna start off by getting in trees right away. Trees are gonna take forever to grow. Mm-hmm. Probably shift into some food plots for next spring, but above all, dude, you know me, I love the bedding. I'm sure a lot of people have probably seen that photo of that big elevated box blind in the cornfield. Paths cut in the field, planted with clover. I mean, it looks like the most beautiful food plot you could imagine. I'd rather have bedding over that.
Well, it's one thing to get them there to eat, but it's a whole another thing to have them hanging out there on a regular basis.
Oh, yeah.
Making those short trips early season.
That's right.
That's a big thing.
Uh-huh. Deer spend 3/4 of their life in their bed. I want to get into their bedroom. Everyone says get up in their kitchen. I want to be in their bedroom.
Yeah, and you know what else will be really beneficial to that?
What's that?
Some of those new Dark Series five-point cameras.
That. I love these things. That no-glow technology.
Yeah, that's incredible. I mean, Everyone says don't put a camera in the bedding. Finally, I'm okay with putting a camera in the bedding.
Yep, getting eyes in there, seeing what we couldn't have seen before.
Oh, exactly. Yeah.
And those solar ones are nice because you could put them in there and leave them.
Yep.
I've heard of guys.
Set it and forget it.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. I like it. Set it and forget it. But no, I mean, I've heard of guys setting up one of these spy point solars and they haven't touched it in like over 2 years.
That's insane.
That blows my mind.
Yeah. I mean, we had our cameras out last year for what? I think like mid to late July until January, and our cards filled up before our batteries died. We still had 3/4 battery life, and we have some huge tips to really share how to extend the battery life and really get the most potential out of those cell cams.
Oh, yeah. We really dialed in on these spy points. This Flex series is just unmatched. But yeah, man, super excited about the house. What better time to buy a house right when you're starting a podcast?
Yeah.
Super busy, beyond busy. Oh, busy is an understatement. Something else worth mentioning, you've been making some serious headway on your new project.
Oh, yeah. That little duck boat I got, $200 turned to $2,000 real quick. And we're even climbing above $2,000. I was trying to keep it a budget project, but, I mean,
yeah,
it's just tough. I mean, I want us to be comfy. I want us to be able to get into any single duck hole or goose hole that we want to get into and have the best potential for success.
This boat, I mean, it is legit now. I was hesitant when we went to pick it up. I looked at it. I'm like, not sure about this, Levi. What are you trying to put me in here? But, dude, you have turned this boat completely around. You've 180'd it. It looks gorgeous. It looks like it's about to be a duck slaying machine.
Yeah, we're working on the interior right now, trying to get that done, get it out for another test run or two. We took that first test run, hit a little hiccups, but first time even testing if it floated, had a Gator Glide bottom coat on, resealed the whole thing, paint job.
Oh, just, yeah.
You know, got a lot of stuff the Mud Skipper put on there.
Dude, that Mud Skipper rips.
Yeah, that thing moves that very, very well.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. What size engine was that again?
Comes out to be like 496cc Predator.
Nice. I got you.
Something like that. Yeah.
That Predator will be nice because if you ever need to replace it, it's a bolt on, bolt off.
Exactly. Saturday, you have an engine malfunction. If you can't fix it with parts laying around sitting in your garage because, you know, it doesn't say boat on it. I mean,
right.
It's a traditional engine. I got a lot of parts laying around. You could always run over to the local Harbor Freight, buy a replacement, pop it on there for the next day, and that way we can get our full 2 days on the weekend.
Oh, yeah. Man, there's what will we not do to maximize our efficiency? It's nuts. But kind of segueing into the last thing, the last big topic for the week.
Can I even say it? I just don't feel right saying it. Pennsylvania Sunday hunting.
Feels illegal.
It's pretty crazy. We've been hunting New York for a couple years now, and, you know, that's huge. We love it. We love getting the extra days of hunting in.
Yeah. I mean, nothing's going to stop us. We're going to find somewhere we can hunt.
Yeah, now we can do it in our backyard, and especially on your property. That's going to be huge.
My literal backyard.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be so nice, man. We've been yearning for this for years. I mean, I can remember down to when I was a little kid, and I'd go small game hunting, and I'm like, man, why can I only do this on Saturday? Why can't we go out and run the dogs on Sunday as well? I mean, oh, man, it killed me. And for years and years and years, I actually wrote the game commission a letter a few years back on it. And I mean, I know it didn't really do much to them. It's all the legislatures. But man, I tell you what, really, I really saw the momentum behind it over the last year. And all my life, I'm like, it's probably not going to happen. It's probably not going to happen. But last year, caught myself thinking, this thing has some traction. It really got some attention last year. And I thought to myself, I bet you in the next 1 to 2 years, it's going to happen. It really got some attention on social media. You know, that HUSH group, Hunters United for Sunday Hunting. I'm sure they probably had a big effect on it. And a huge thanks to our local legislatures for just finally putting the hammer down on this blue law. Oh, I'm so happy that it's gone.
Yeah, we're sadly leaving Maine and Massachusetts in the dust. They're sadly the last two states that don't allow any sort of Sunday hunting.
Oh, man.
I mean, we were right there with them. And if any of them guys are listening, sorry. Hopefully that, you know, hopefully the tide turns for you guys because it's
we're joining the rest of the states.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. House Bill 1431, she passed. And I believe the Game Commission is going to be meeting here soon to talk about the Sundays, specific Sundays that are going to be involved. I caught a quick list in our local WMU group. It appears to me just about every Sunday during, you know, the first half, like everything through September, October, November, even into, I think, the first Sunday in December as well.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so it covers just about all of bow season and most, if not all, rifle season too, man.
Yeah, I mean, so it's pretty incredible. Shout out to our Game Commission and all the people in legislation that have been really pushing this thing because, you know, it's one thing to have Sunday hunting approved and allow the Game Commission to go in and make the decision on which Sundays are going to be the best.
I mean, it's only logical.
But also, they're going to push it into effect, hopefully, for this year.
Yes.
I mean, they pushed back their meeting about, give or take, about 2 weeks. They pushed that meeting back so that they could kind of get a collection of what everyone's saying about it, kind of the interest, and just seeing everything that's going to go on with it.
Yeah, man, I think we speak for a lot of hunters, most of them, if not just about all of them. But we're really grateful for all these additional opportunities. I mean, you are opening windows. You're opening doors for the working class outdoorsman in Pennsylvania. I mean, this is huge. And I think it's common sense. It has to have such a huge rallying behind it. Every single person that I've talked to is for it 100% of the way. I mean, it's been a long time coming, and I mean, man, you got a lot of happy outdoorsmen on your hands here.
Yeah, we're a commonwealth full of hunters.
The most. We are the most hunters per square mile. So, yeah. I mean, and we can't do it on Sundays.
Exactly.
But we can now.
We have a large density. We have very good public land opportunities. Just all this different stuff. You're going to get it out to the youth more. You're going to increase the economic impact of hunting. I mean, there's so many benefits to this Sunday hunting.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a no-brainer, dude.
Now, the one thing to note, though, you did say that they mentioned in that group nothing related to waterfowl.
No, unfortunately, no waterfowl this year. I'm not sure what's to come on that front. So, you know, if we want to get out for waterfowl, we're still going to be jumping into New York or maybe branching out into Ohio. We got that duck hunt down in Virginia coming up. Who knows, maybe we'll poke back out there at some point.
Yeah, definitely, because we're going to have a Virginia license. So if we're going to hold Virginia licenses this year, maybe even pop down there and do a little turkey hunting or something.
Yeah, yeah, we'll have the tags.
We're going to have a tag ready to roll, so we're going to have to look into it maybe if we get a free weekend or do something.
Dude, if we tag out early in bow season, I know where we're going. Taking a weekend trip down south, going to see what we could do down there.
Oh, yeah, they have those Sika deer there, don't they?
Dude, Sika deer hunt this year.
Yeah. It's earlier than our regular season, though, I believe. I believe it's a really early season. You got to go with an outfit. You're in, like, marsh swampland. Not sure how the bugs would be. That Dude. Might be an interesting one. But at some point or another, I would really like to get down there and do that.
I'd love to.
Fun. I mean,
it's going to be tough. But if I could somehow work that in the middle of moving into my new house... dude, I got to figure out something for the bugs. The bugs here love me. The bugs there are going to go nuts.
Yeah, I remember we were turkey hunting with old Chase, and those bugs, every time you'd walk close to me, I had to run away from you because you kept bringing the whole swarm. I mean,
I'm a walking buffet.
Every bug in the woods was on Hunter.
Yeah, man, I'm so pumped for Sunday hunting. You know, it's going to be really nice to just finally get out into the woods and do what we love on Sundays. So, you know, I'm sure it's going to take up a lot more of our time this year. But, you know, what else took up more of our time this year? Total Archery Challenge.
Yeah. Yeah, we usually get out and shoot our bows quite often, shoot a lot of local 3D courses and stuff, and we took a trip down to Seven Springs right here in Pennsylvania, and wow.
I was a little hesitant at first. I've heard of TAC. Yeah. I thought it was kind of cool. Wasn't really sure what it's about, but man, I am glad we signed up.
Yeah, man, I remember I was like, hey, let's go to Seven Springs, and then all of a sudden, without even skipping a beat, hey, let's go to Indiana, yep. And I'm sitting there, and I'm giving you this little push, and finally, you got up over it, and man, I'm glad you did, dude. It was a really good time. Got to spend a lot of good time with some good people, and, you know, our close friends, family, and
oh, yeah.
It was so much fun.
Yeah, we shot the courses together. Our good buddy Joey joined us. He shot alongside us. There was three of us shooting, and also had my cousin Trisha. She came to film. That was awesome.
Yeah, she did an awesome job. That was huge having an extra person to run the camera, take some nice close-ups.
Oh, yeah, dude. She snagged some top-notch media for us, too.
Yeah.
She did a great job.
I think my favorite was the GoPro footage of us walking up that hill. Part of our intro.
That's in our intro. Yeah. She tripped over that log while she was filming it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hunter's like, not the camera. But camera was safe. It was in good hands.
Oh, yeah. Well, really cool to, you know, go back to where we used to ski a lot, you know, growing up in high school. I mean, it's not that far from our hometown. And, you know, we're hiking up these ski slopes where we used to shred trails and hit jumps, and now we're shooting our bows there. So that was cool.
You know, yeah, we have a lot of good memories, and we just added a completely new memory and a whole new thing to to what we're always going to remember Seven Springs as.
Yeah.
And definitely going to continue to attend that event for sure.
1,000,000%. We are booking it every single year. New tradition started. Day one, shot, what did we shoot first? Loophole course.
Yeah, right up on top of the hill. Rode up that Wagner lift.
Yep.
Got off, trekked across between the ponds.
Dude, I remember riding up that lift. It was rainy, really rainy, pretty windy the first day. Temperatures were fluctuating. They were dropping, coming back up a little bit, dropping. And when we got to the top of that mountain on that lift, it was pretty cold.
It was very cold. I'm glad I had a rain jacket because I got crushed and I had a rain jacket on.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
I mean, if we didn't have rain gear, that would have made a completely different outcome for the day. And it was already tough.
Yeah. Dude, we would have been done after the first couple targets.
Yeah. There was a couple guys we saw out there, I mean, slip and slide, and they were just soaked.
Remember that girl we saw? She was walking around in white flip-flops.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, that one guy came off the lift. He had a pair of just like regular old jeans, and I think he had like a flannel.
Dude, those look like brand new jeans,
too. I was
like,
hey, dude. I was like,
turn around.
It's pretty muddy.
Yeah, that weather was the biggest challenge by far.
Oh, yeah. Especially Joey and I were both shooting a lens with clarifier peeps.
Yeah. You guys were struggling through the rain a little bit.
Yeah. I was losing arrows. Seeing trees. not really excited to admit that, but hey, I'm
there. It happens.
So
you didn't lose that many though. I saw guys with upwards of 24 arrows on the course. I'm like, why do you have those?
Yeah.
I thought I was taking a lot and I took 6. I'm like, you have 24. I'm like, are you selling them out here?
Yeah, I took 6 and I was like, maybe I should have brought 12.
Ugh, yeah.
And I really didn't have any issues until I pulled out my peep.
Yeah.
I pulled out that clarifier and I wasn't really thinking about it, but having a rain jacket on and my peep being a clarifier had an aperture to it.
Yep.
So obviously, can't blame the bow, can't blame the equipment. It was on me, but I was used to shooting that bow. I sighted that bow in with that tighter aperture. And so it completely changed everything. I don't really shoot any anchor point. My anchor point
is... That's right, you don't anchor.
My anchor point is somewhat tied to where I look through my peep and just centering that on my sight housing.
Yeah, I gotcha. I always anchor. I kind of wrap my knuckle back around my little corner of my jaw. So I've loved that consistency and I've stuck with it. Dude, I don't know how you shoot without an anchor. That's got to be tough.
I know. And especially, like, you're shooting that hand release still. I dropped the thumb. Mm-hmm. I dropped that, and I'm shooting the trigger now.
Yep.
So I went back to the trigger. My consistency dramatically increased. It's way more comfortable. I'm actually loving my bow again.
Nice.
I'm not sitting there kind of frustrated, getting a tough anchor point every time. And just, it's so much smoother. But that's how I've always shot. When I went to that thumb, I was... iffy on it. I mean, I liked it. I shot it all last year and I gave it a shot, but wasn't my favorite. I really like that trigger release.
Yeah, dude, I tried out the thumb release and I absolutely fell in love with it, man. Between, you know, the consistency of that anchor point, and I mean, honestly, I think that it is probably the sole reason that I was able to overcome my target panic. I think every archer experiences, you know, they go through the whole target panic thing. It's at some point in their archery career. Maybe it's early, maybe the guys overcome it right away, but mine stuck around a little bit, and I just noticed that when I started using that thumb release, I kind of walked myself through that sequential order of events. You know, I draw back, I put my thumb on, I try to, you know, count to about 3 or so, get that pin to settle on it, and I slowly ease off, you know, send that arrow, and no more target panic. It's gone. You know, it really helped me relieve it. So I like it a lot. I'm shooting all right with it. I killed that 10 point with it last year, so I'm pretty happy with the thumb.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys that really like them. I wish I could. I just can't shoot it consistently.
You gave it a good shot. I honestly, dude, I think you shot it pretty well.
I didn't shoot it bad. It felt very unnatural.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been shooting a bow since I was probably younger than 10 years old.
Yeah.
I've been shooting, you know, compound bows, and I don't know. I think maybe it was just all in my head. I've just always shot that trigger release, and as soon as I went back to it, boom, consistency increase, comfort increase, the bow felt smoother. It just all around was so much better.
Yeah, I gotcha. Oh, dude, the other thing that I like about that thumb release, though, you're not wearing it underneath your hunting clothes. I just hang it right on my D-loop. It's there when I need it. I like that.
Yeah, that's a big benefit to it. I definitely do like that. When I went back to the trigger, I went with the Spot Hog. I don't know if you noticed, but when it's sticking out here, it actually has like kind of a little cammed pivot.
Does it?
Where you can clip it back and slip it under your like shirt sleeve.
That's not
or
bad.
Your jacket. I kind of like that. You know, you're not whacking it on your bow and you're exactly. making adjustments to your sight and keeps it kind of out of the way, especially climbing up a stand.
I was going
to
say that.
Climber, you're not mm-hmm. rattling it around. I really do like that benefit of that exact
yeah, release. You don't have to take it off if you want to go mobile or if you want to adjust yourself. You're not going to bang it off of something. So, no, that's pretty nice. That's a cool feature. But, yeah, I tell you what, that rain, getting back into it, ugh. Dude, that rain was tough. The rain, I mean, it made things uncomfortable, but, you know, we powered through it. What really made things tough was what followed the rain. Rangefinders don't work in fog.
No, they do not. It doesn't matter what kind of rangefinder either. We had probably, we all three had different rangefinders.
Yep.
And then we met a couple guys in front and behind, and they were stepping off the targets with us, sharing yeah. info. It was kind of a team effort. It was, hey, how far did you shoot this?
Yep, someone would just call it out. 43 yards, we would all adjust our sights to 43. We would all miss. No, I'm just kidding. But no, I Vortex wouldn't punch through the fog. You were running the HD Vortex, the Viper Vortex, yep. weren't you? That one wasn't cutting through it. Our buddy, what did Joey have?
I think Joey might have a Leopold.
Joey was running the Leopold.
Not too positive, but I think that's what he's running.
Yep.
That other guy had a Nikon, I think.
Yeah, the guys behind us had Nikons. Mm-hmm. Nothing was cutting through it.
Yeah, it was pretty rough.
And what's crazy is you have two options. You're either going to just take your time and walk it off, or you use your instincts. You judge it. Some of them we judged.
Yeah, there was a couple we judged, and they were definitely the guys in front of us are like, oh, yeah, that's about 40. And we're looking, we're like, no way.
Yeah.
No, that's about 28. No way. And it would be over a little bit of a knoll, a little bit of a, mm-hmm. you know.
Something that would disorient.
Log sticking across or something. And it's just, some of those targets were so small.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a lot of very small targets, very tight angles.
Dude, there's probably three or four times we walk up to the cone where you shoot. Where's the target? We couldn't see it because it was so dark from the rain and the fog. They got it hidden under a little log somewhere. I can remember a time we had to walk around and find the target.
Yeah, there was a bunch of those little pigs. They were just tiny little pigs, and they'd be like 35 yards just poking out of the fog behind a log or something. And
hiding
all
us.
You could see was the back, and you were like, well, hopefully I can arc it over and hit the insert. But it was a blast. I remember right about when the rain kind of stopped and after, you know, the fog kind of lifted a little bit, we were walking up that hill and I don't know who was the leader, but they did not follow those pink flags.
Oh, no, dude.
If you ever shoot TAC, don't walk down that trail unless there is a pink flag or something that you are following that marks the trail.
Yeah, that's probably our only complaint. The TAC before was down in West Virginia. Was it right before Pennsylvania?
Yeah, I believe that was the event prior.
They just shoot right up the Appalachians there. But unfortunately, someone in West Virginia, I don't recall the whole story, but there was a pretty severe injury.
Yeah, I believe it was to the head, and the guy survived, thank God.
He took an arrow to the, was it through the back of the head and...
I think so.
Out the eye socket?
Yeah, I think it was something pretty gruesome. Yeah, it was...
That's terrible, man. Oh, man. Oof.
But guy survived.
Yeah, I hope he's doing all right. You know, thoughts and prayers to him and the family. You know, oh, my goodness. That's life-changing, though, man. And, oh, man, you don't wish that on your worst enemy.
No. I remember looking up at the backside of those targets, and I was like, wait a minute. No pink flags. I'm looking at the back of a target. And we just talked to some guys about the West Virginia incident, and we were like, wait.
Yeah, I mean.
We cannot be next. We got to get out of here.
Everything, just giant red flag popped up, and we kind of realized where we were. To sort of sum things up, we're following a path going to the next target. I mean, there's an obvious footpath. And the trails, I'll just say they could have been marked a little better. And so we're following this footpath, and maybe 30, 40, almost 50 yards down the trail, we realized, we're still on this obvious footpath, but we haven't seen one of the trail markers in a while.
Yeah, those pink ribbons.
Yeah. And we're looking around. We're like, where's the trail markers? And we looked up and we could see a target. Well, like, okay, well, maybe that's the target. So this is probably where we're supposed to shoot, but there's no trail markers.
No cones.
Yeah, there's no cone either.
We just didn't see a cone, and we were already beyond what exactly the normal distance between cones was.
We put that target in the binoculars, and we realized we're standing on the back side of this target, downrange. And I remember I saw a couple of guys miss the targets.
I missed the targets. Yeah. There was a little roll in that hill, too, so like we were definitely concealed.
Yes.
It was... Once again, I mean, the fog mostly lifted, but the conditions were not super high visibility.
We found ourselves in a pretty dangerous situation. It clicked in our heads right away. We looked at each other, and it's like we just all knew. We said, we got to get out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We just turned and kind of hightailed it back.
You know, it's interesting, though. I found that guy's arrow right where we were standing there. So yes. Guess what? We weren't the only ones to do that. I mean, it's obvious that you would just keep walking down this main path. And when we got back... We saw that little trail marker way up in the woods, and I'm thinking to myself, come on, man, like, probably should have been a little bit more of an obvious marker to cut up in right here and not stay on the main path. But
exactly.
I mean, I tell you what, guys, if you're going out to TAC, be careful, be wary of where you're at, you know, just always maintain a sense of safety. That's what comes first. You know, everyone's there to have a good time, have fun, but just make sure that you're being safe, you know what you're doing.
Yeah, another thing, I mean, hey, I have camo rain jackets. I have dark green rain jackets, but don't be afraid to wear an orange hat, an orange jacket, or, you know, something that's a little bit visible. It's not bad.
Exactly. You know, I mean, there's people that say you don't need it, but I mean, guess what? I mean, they're called accidents for a reason. But yeah, other than that, man, amazing time at TAC. I mean, it was so much fun, dude. We were in our element. You know, everyone there are kind of people. We met some really cool people.
Oh, yeah. We met some awesome people. What was that? After we got lost, we kind of shot across that ridge there a little bit, shot across the pond. That was a really cool target. That was a frog, cool. I think.
A big red frog.
Yeah, that was a fun one. So we shot across that, went down, had some lunch at the Foggy Goggle.
Yeah.
Had good lunch. That was really good. Got out of the elements a little bit.
Yeah, dried off.
Then decided, we were soaked. Yeah, we were pretty wet, but decided exactly what course we were going to shoot next. Went back up the lift and decided on, what was it, the RMEF?
Yeah, Rocky Mountain Course
Foundation one. Yeah.
Oh yeah, that one was fun. I don't know if I could pick between the Leupold and the Rocky Mountain Elk Course which one was my favorite. I liked them both a lot. The Leupold course, pretty challenging, lots of tough tight shots, small targets, lots of small targets on the Leupold course, but great variety overall. But the Rocky Mountain course, I believe it was all elk, right? You know, nothing other than just elk?
Yes, all elk. There was a couple little elk. The little baby elk.
The baby elk.
We were looking around and we're like, what's that little pig out there? And
at first, all of a sudden, we thought it was like 80 yards. We ranged it. No, that's 20 yards.
Yeah, there was a couple of those little guys out there, but definitely it was mostly long shots. Nothing super technical. Which was kind of nice and refreshing after going up and getting spanked by that top course. So that was pretty nice to actually get out there and make some longer shots.
Just relax, you know, just let your sight do the work and drop some long bombs.
Yeah, there was a little bit of a backup there, I noticed. I think probably just because of the retrieval time.
Yeah.
I think that was the biggest thing, was just retrieval time of the arrows. But we got out there and we saw a lot of those guys shooting and we're like, okay.
Yeah.
We're up. Range it. Oh wow, that's over 80 yards and downhill, and do I have to make any compensations? Or we started across that one and I could barely find it in my sight. It was a super dark background, super dark bedded elk.
I remember that one up on that hill.
Yep. And it was that was a really, really tough target. I think I actually put a good shot on that target and I was really happy. Then after that we had that one that was tucked down behind that little pile of rocks.
Oh yeah.
That was a pretty wild target.
Yeah, that was a rough one. I remember that one. You know, before TAC, I had never shot more than like 50 yards with my bow. And when we went over to Dave's Archery, you know, do a little practice round before TAC, just the week before, I mean, we stretched it out to what, like 65 yards?
I think it was further. I think it was close to 80.
I didn't shoot 80 that day.
I think I shot 80 because I shot that
back
pin.
You might have shot longer.
And I was trying to see how much I can max out my sight before it was hitting my fletchings.
I think I tapped out at like 60, maybe 65 yards. And then just out of nowhere, kind of threw caution to the wind, cranked my sight down to 85 on some of those shots, and I had no idea what was going to happen. Laid them in there just fine. Yeah, I mean, totally just boosted my confidence on these long-range shots. And after that, I loved it. I mean, it was so much fun. And I mean, once you're cracking these shots off at 70, 80 yards, and you're nailing them, dude, it makes shooting at like 30 yards nothing.
Exactly. It's really nice to put that equipment to work too, because you're shooting a nicer bow, you're shooting nicer arrows, you're shooting a nicer sight release, you know, the whole nine. Why not use it? There's no way my first bow was shooting anything over probably 80 yards. Yeah. Now I got a Matthews lift. I am well aware that that bow can shoot 80 yards plus without even thinking about it. And then after shooting, it's like, wow, that just butter. I mean, just dropping them in.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Modern technology. You're still packing some good kinetic energy, even at those distances.
Yeah. I'm shooting those gold tips for those, and they have that super slick on them.
Oh, that stuff's sweet.
KJ was telling Joey about it, and then Joey put me on them, and I was like, wait a minute. Makes them easier to pull out of the target, but apparently, in a sense of a hunting arrow, it's supposed to really help pass through your target.
Yep.
So that's what they say. After seeing it on those foam targets, just punching into those inserts, I would definitely believe it. I think I'm still going to go with my victories for my hunting arrow. I really just like the weighting of those arrows. And
yeah.
I just love that arrow for hunting. But for tack, the little bit lighter setup, lighter tip, everything like that, just huge for those long distance shots.
I mean, both your arrows, though, are what, 5 mil? Are they both fives?
Yes. Yes, okay. They're both 5 mils. I think my gold tips are sitting around 288, and my victories, I think, are about 328. There's a difference in the FOC.
Mm-hmm.
They're both high FOC arrows for sure, but I'm shooting a 75 grain tip on my gold tips, and my victories, I'm shooting a 100 grain tip.
I gotcha. I mean, just being that they're 5 mil alone, that's going to dramatically reduce that frictional coefficient right there. You're going to get some better penetration with those.
Oh, for sure.
I've been wanting to step down to the fives. I'm still shooting 6.5s. So I'm living in the past, I guess.
It treated you well, though. I mean,
yeah, I shoot them well, so that's why I have a hard time moving away from them. So yeah, man. I mean, honestly, one of the coolest things was just seeing how we were able to overcome some of these challenges that we didn't even know we were going to face. I mean, we learned a lot just at this one tack outing.
Yeah, it was huge. I ended up actually switching away from the Luminox.
That's right.
I know you were shooting the Luminox, and when I was shooting them, I love watching them fly, especially running some cameras and stuff. You can really get some good footage, but
yeah.
I had to go back to the regular like match Nox
for the gold tips. That's right. I remember that.
I was having failures. I was hitting the insert, you know, good shot on good foam, and boom, my Nox was flying out of the back of the arrow.
Yeah.
Failures there. Couple of them broke. Just completely damaged. And then even like my tips, I got to go buy more tips.
Dude, it seemed like you kept hitting broken off arrows inside, you know, the kill zone, inside the 10 ring, the 12 ring of a deer. You would hit someone's broken off arrow in there.
Yeah, I don't know what the heck was stuck in there. I don't know why people were snapping arrows inside. But I lost a lot of tips to that because they kept coming out dented and then they were flying funny. So had to just put that arrow to the side and try not to grab it again for the rest of the trip.
Dude, you guys hated my Nox, though.
Oh, the disco party, man. Those disco things Nox. Are arrow magnets. If you shoot a 10, I'm shooting a 10. If you shoot a 12, I'm shooting a 12. Oh. They just draw arrows to them.
Yep.
It's crazy.
PSA, if you're going to shoot strobing Nox at tech, shoot last.
Yeah, you're at the end of the line. Sorry. Oh, don't man. Be that guy. Don't be Hunter.
The disco Nox.
Yeah, man. You're just taking the disco party with you. But yeah, when we got down over the hill on the RMEF course, we met those guys from Jersey.
That was cool.
Solid group of guys. They were super fun to shoot with. That was definitely a good way to end that.
That was really fun. I mean, they were ragging on us. We were ragging on them, giving each other a hard time. That was sweet.
Yeah, cool group of dudes.
Oh, yeah.
Hopefully if they're watching this, say what's up sometime. Don't be strangers.
That's right. Hopefully we see you again next year.
Bunch of like-minded guys.
Day two, we ended up jumping on the Jack's Links course. That was a cool course. Interesting. I like shooting the Sasquatch.
Yeah, that was a huge target.
That was sweet. Giant, like, 9-foot-tall Bigfoot up on the mountain. I think one of us headshot him. Who was that?
It might have been me. It might have been me, because I think I adjusted high, considering that it was uphill.
Yeah,
so I think I shot like up. This. And honestly, geez. I just didn't want to shoot it. I didn't want to miss the target.
Yeah.
I was just trying to get it on the target because that was a little rusty from being overnight. My shoulder was feeling it a little bit.
Yeah.
And I was carrying that camera.
That was the biggest part.
Huge learning experience. I mean, I love filming. I love getting stuff to, you know, put out there for everyone to see. But also, it takes a lot of time.
Yeah.
And that camera is not light.
Yeah. I tell you what, that was probably one of the bigger challenges. You know, on day two, not raining, so we figured this is our day to capture some media. And focusing on getting quality content and balancing that with making sure you're, you know, shooting well, making sure you're taking your time, putting good shots, that was challenging to me. I found myself drawing back and not really thinking about what I'm doing. I'm worried about, is the camera on? Is it getting a good angle? Is it focused? Is the ISO good? And I found myself just kind of flinging arrows. You know, I really needed to say, oh, okay. After I made a couple bad shots, I had to take a step back and say, dude, you gotta take your time here. You know, think about what you're doing. So that was one of the harder challenges for me that I noticed.
Yeah, especially... We left a camera behind one time.
One time.
Well, maybe a couple more than one time. But actually, that's how we ended up meeting the guys that own Thwack. Those guys are awesome.
Yeah, that was sweet. They make custom wraps for pretty much any archery equipment. It might not even be limited to archery.
Yeah, they said if you want something custom, get a hold of them. Yeah. They can do sight housings. That's mostly what they do, I think. Mm-hmm. They said as long as it doesn't have a ton of cutouts on it,
yeah,
that they would, you know, be able to work on something for you. But UltraViews are the site that they mostly focus on. Those guys had some awesome wraps.
They did. They had, what would I call that? Festive.
Yeah.
Festive wraps. You know, they had Seven Springs Tack themed wraps on their sites. And I mean, those things were sweet, dude. They did a nice job designing those. The quality seems pretty cool.
Oh yeah, those things are awesome. If I didn't shoot that super open housing CBE site, I mean, I thought about buying like a Dowd or an UltraView or something because I want that on my boat.
That'd be cool.
Those
yeah.
Those things are awesome.
Our sites just don't have any bodies to them. There's no surface.
Exactly.
Yeah. But no, those guys were really cool. Really cool to talk to. And again, just circling back to that, man, like-minded people. You know, we're in our element. It's just a bunch of guys and girls just like us. It was super cool to interact with them, meet them all, and you know, make some friends for next time too.
Yeah, and then shortly after the guys from Thwack, we ended up meeting that one lady there was a couple ladies and that guy.
Yep.
We met them, and that's where we kind of really learned a lot about the R100, and we were like, hey, this is what we have to do.
We didn't even know what it was.
I know. I was tempted to drive down there and shoot that next one. It was like the following weekend.
Yeah, I'm super excited. We ended up realizing there's an R100 right here in northwestern Pennsylvania. It's, you know, less than an hour away from us, and no-brainer. Sign us up.
Yeah, so that's going to be an awesome one. Super pumped on that. I mean, the targets, just the environment. I love the environment. Like, the targets, getting to shoot that stuff once in a lifetime, or at least once a year. I mean, you're only going to see and do that stuff at events like TAC.
Exactly.
Or at events like the R100. But going and just hanging out with those kind of people is what really makes the trip.
Yeah. The camaraderie is half, if not three quarters of it, my man.
Yeah, it's really a huge thing. I just love it.
Yeah, it's going to be I almost called it a cool mini tack, but thinking about it, it's 100 targets.
Yeah.
I wouldn't call it mini. And some of those targets are definitely not mini. I think in the last episode, we talked about the giraffe. How tall are giraffes? It's a life-size giraffe. There's T-Rexes, there's like Stegosauruses. I mean, there's some pretty cool targets ahead of us. I'm pretty excited to shoot this. How do they transport all these targets around?
I don't know, but as long as we make it before the Big Bang.
Dude, what if they have a target that's the meteor?
That would be a pretty interesting one.
Save the dinosaurs.
Little mini craters for the 12 ring.
Oh, geez, that's great. Now we got to Franklin R100 coming up. If you guys are watching this and you're going to be there, be sure to look out for us. Come say hi, introduce yourselves. Don't be a stranger. So, but no, I mean, other than that, we met some super cool vendors at TAC too.
Yeah, I think, what was the first one? I think we stopped at Sever.
Stopped at the Sever booth, yeah.
Yep, the gentleman's name was Casey.
Mm-hmm.
He's awesome. He sold my dad a bunch of broadheads. Love to see my dad switch to the side of Severs. That's definitely my preferred broadhead.
So I'm
super
like
glad to see my dad.
Yeah. I'm coming around on him.
I love those things, man. I mean, I didn't get to put the 1.5 hybrid to test last year, and all of a sudden they're like, boom, 1.75 hybrid.
That's cool.
2.0 hybrid.
Wait a minute. They made a 2.0 hybrid?
They made a 2.0 hybrid.
So 2-inch cut with what, like?
2 bleeders.
2 half-inch bleeders?
Not sure the total cut on it, but they're perpendicular to it in the sense of a bleeder.
That's cool. And they still have the pivoting, like, bone-avoiding technology.
Yes.
Ooh, that's cool.
Yeah, straight through it.
Oh, that's sweet.
But yeah, Casey sold my dad on those, picked up some broadheads, picked up some hats, replaced my one that I lost last year, my 2-inch titanium.
Yeah.
So got that back.
Is that the one you shot your doe with?
Yep.
Dude, she went like 10 yards up that hill.
That was a super steep angle too. Her nose was like 11 o'clock. And I know a lot of mechanical broadheads would have definitely failed on that. I was even questioning the shot and I put it to the test and it was just insane.
That's sweet.
I mean, it passed through. She snapped the tip off just on the backside and then boom, she went up the hill a couple yards and just fell over.
Yeah. And
super,
I mean, if
swift.
If she was out of sight, you had a pretty good blood trail, dude.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that cut, it's a 2-inch cut, but it was definitely probably a little bit closer to like the 5-inch cut.
Yeah.
I mean, that thing hit her hard and it was a nice swift death. That's definitely what we like to see.
Yeah.
We only want good, clean shots, fast, you know, harvest basically.
That's right.
Nothing suffering.
As ethical as possible. That's
what
we're
all about. Thing with those broadheads, I mean, there's a lot of good broadheads out there. I can't knock any broadhead because they all have blades. They're all getting shot from modern compounds, crossbows, and sometimes even the traditional side of archery. Everything's come so far. I mean, it's all really good technology out now, and if you go out and you practice and you're confident in your skill, you put a good shot, that broadhead's going to do what it wants.
Yeah.
What I'm looking for in a broadhead, though, I want something that's going to perform well when I don't.
That's a good point, man. That's a really good point. You know, give yourself some wiggle room.
Exactly. You know, I'm looking for the best shot. I'm passing shots if I don't think that it's a clean shot. But also, if I take that shot and I hit a branch, it's a little bit windy. Mm-hmm. I move a little bit. I mean, adrenaline is unlike anything else. Things happen. So I want something that's going to perform really well when I don't. So I'm looking for that, you know, like you said, wiggle room.
Yeah. Know that your tool is going to do its job.
Exactly. For sure.
That one that I shot my doe with this year did pretty well. I didn't, like you said, the wiggle room, I didn't put the best shot on her. I got about half lung, half liver. She didn't go super far. A little further than I would have liked to see her go, but, I mean, nonetheless, I didn't lose her. That was pretty sweet talking to Casey at Sever. Who else did we talk to there?
We actually met David from Bow Spider. That was actually like our second time meeting him. We actually met him over at the Great American Outdoor Show in Harrisburg.
Right.
We got to sit down and talk with him a little bit about his product line, and it's pretty incredible.
Really is. He's got a lot going on. It's not even just the Bow Spider. But I remember when we saw that booth at the Great American Outdoor Show, I saw him with his bow on his back. I saw him pull it off real quick. Smooth, seamless.
It's seamless with him, yes, exactly.
Oh, yeah. It looks so cool. And I'm thinking to myself, dang, I got to get one of those for TAC. you know, that was wintertime just after we signed up, so it was fresh in my mind. I'm thinking that would really come in clutch for lugging that bow around the mountain down there. What I really liked, though, is when he had the Bow Spider mounted on his belt, and he had that lower mounting peg. It was on the bottom portion of his riser. He took that, snapped it right in, like hung the
strap.
Yeah, right on the strap, right on his backpack strap. Hands free, his bow was mounted right here on him, and he was walking around. It wasn't banging off of anything.
Yes.
It held it nice and secure. That was sweet.
Now, you've seen the videos too where it's hanging down.
Yeah.
Now, everyone's talking about glassing, and that's his big thing because he's an he's from Wyoming, so he's out west doing a lot of spot and stock, doing a lot of glass and hiking the hills. Takes it, flips it around so that his upper limb is up here. You can take it, and I have a nice position to glass from.
That's
nice, steady, and your bow's right in front of you. You know where it's at.
That is
cool. So that's another good option. You know, you can have it on your side. You can have it on your back.
Oh, yeah. Once I saw him lock that thing onto his belt and pull it right off of his backpack, you know, you could go on the back, on the belt, all kinds of configurations. I was sold. I'm like, yeah, I need one of those. So I ended up getting two of each. I got two bow spiders, which is the puck unit that it locks into. And I also got two of the pegs. And I don't see a lot of guys doing this, but I mounted one up high on my bow and one down low. The one down low is so I can lock it on my belt. I still have my bow right here. The one up high is so I can hang it, you know, pretty much anywhere. I hang it on the wall. I hang it on, you know, I could put the bow spider around the tree. I can hang it right on my tree while I'm in my tree stand. I could put it the bow spider around the headrest, lock it onto the back of my seat in my truck. And, you know, above all, the one on the bottom, over the back on the backpack.
Yeah, did you see the actual mount that goes on the side of your sight post,
basically? I did. I almost mounted one there.
Yeah, I think I'm going to look into getting that thing for saddle hunting especially. That's going to be really huge. I think that's going to be the most effective way to hang my bow out of my saddle setup. I like the, you have to cant it in, and then it pulls out. It doesn't just pull straight out.
Yeah, it really locks it in. It really
secures it in there.
That is sweet. I think that side mount where it goes in your two sight fastener holes, I think that'll be perfect for you because you're running that bridge lock sight. Those holes are unused for you.
Yes,
they're wide
exactly.
open. They're ready for a bow spider.
Yeah, but I mean, David's awesome. I mean, he's great in front of the camera.
Yeah.
Super solid guy.
That was a cool interview we did with him. It was really cool seeing him work that bow right over his back. You know, it took me a minute to get used to. It's interesting, you know, you're kind of just holding it back there. You don't really see, but you feel, and you get the hang of it after a couple of times. Now, as long as you got it mounted up on your pack, nice and tight, nice and high, you just kind of feel for the slot, run it right down at the tip of your finger, and just let
go. Yeah, I really like that tip. And I remember, like, you had it, but it took you a second.
Yep.
You sat down and you said, hey, man. It was, I think, the first day when we stopped.
Yeah, it was right away.
You said, hey, man. You said, I got this. I love it. It's just not seating perfect for me. And he's like, what do you mean seating perfect for you? Bing. I mean, seamless.
Yeah.
Like,
he tightened it up a little for me.
It was insane. He brought it up on your back a little bit, showed you how to put your finger there and follow it down your finger. And all of a sudden, you're not as good as him. But you were getting close.
Yeah, no, had a great time. Meeting David, checking out the bow spider, putting it to work, and oh, dude, it was so nice having that thing to carry my bow around the mountain. That really came in clutch. In fact, we like the bow spider so much, we ended up partnering up with them. We actually have a code from Mod Outdoors. It's a discount code. The code is MOD10, MOD10. So go ahead and check them out. Get yourselves a bow spider. The code will do 10% off on a kit. Dude, I'd highly recommend them. You're not going to want to miss out on this.
Yeah, there's a lot of colors out right now too. I see they just dropped a couple colors.
Are you serious?
Yeah, there's a couple new ones out there, like neons and stuff.
Yeah, let's see, who else did we meet? We spent a lot of time at the Mountain Ops booth.
Tons of time at the Mountain Ops booth. That was definitely, we stopped at almost every booth, stopped, said hi, checked out everything. Definitely one of our high points.
That Ignite. It's just so good.
Yeah, I drink it once or twice a day, as they recommend, two scoops, you know, one in the morning, one in the afternoon, about 200 milligrams of caffeine, but it's not a jittery caffeine.
Exactly.
I think that's the biggest thing.
It has pretty much replaced coffee for me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I still maybe have a cup of coffee. I love my black coffee, but no store-bought energy drinks. I think that's the biggest thing. I used to buy Monster by the case.
Yep.
Now, I don't buy Monster. I've even had a couple people tell me, hey, if you miss the carbonation factor of it, use like soda water or some type of carbonated water.
I never thought
I've
of
yet
that.
To try that just because I love it how it is, but I might have to try that at some point if any of you guys are listening and want to check it out. Maybe that's a good option for you guys to help break that carbonation difference.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool, man. I might have to try that out. That's kind of piquing my interest. Ooh. Tell you what, though, I really love those flavors. The one that really stuck with me besides I mean, ROG is kind of like the peach zing.
That's peach zing is amazing.
That's what really got us into it. That was the gateway. But no, I really like that pineapple, and I'm not even a big pineapple guy.
Yeah, you did like that one. I remember you kept trying that one. You just kept going back, and I was like, "Hey, Hunter, come on, get back over here."
Eventually, I ended up picking up one of these tumblers, which I'm glad I got. By the way, these things are metal.
Yeah, I had multiple people. I showed up to a couple different places, even work, and the one guy who works out a ton, he's like, "Is that stainless steel?"
Yeah,
I said, "Yes, it is stainless steel, and for a great price." The logo's awesome. I love the orange. And it keeps your drink cold. Plastic bottles, they're great. But you know what? Stainless steel tumbler.
Yeah.
Lights out.
I've never seen a tumbler as well built as this thing. I've had people in I was in Cleveland one day, and people came up to me and they said the same thing. They're like, "Is that a stainless tumbler?" I said, "You bet."
Yeah, I think pretty much all of us picked up a tumbler. Even my dad.
That's right. Dad, Joey got one. Your dad got one.
He does not drink energy drinks. He does not drink coffee.
He
little bit of soda here and there. What's he do? He picks up a tub of Ignite in the rainbow sherbet.
I never tried that one.
He loved it.
How's it working for him? You know, is it giving him a little pep in his step?
Yeah, I mean, he's a school teacher and he's working construction over the summer, doing some concrete, doing some block, you know, stuff like that. He drinks a bottle of that every single day and he goes to work. And of course, I mean, the guy just goes out and gets it done. But he loves this stuff.
Yeah. You do end up putting an order in, you'll have to let me know.
Oh, we're going to see him down at Indiana Tech. I might have to get another one of those chairs.
Dude, those chairs were so nice.
Yes, mine has stayed in my car since I got it. Super light, super compact. Yeah. Pop it out anywhere, put it together. I didn't even know they sold them.
I know. Who thought Mountain Ops sold chairs? Yeah. They have some seriously cool chairs.
Yeah, man, it was super cool getting to talk with Courtney and Cameron at the Mountain Ops booth. That was a lot of fun. We spent a lot of time there, like we said, stopping back to refill our tumblers especially, trying all the different flavors, all the different options, aside from just the Ignite.
Yeah, also ran into Josh Bomar. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was you and Joey.
Yeah, saw him down at the novelty shoots, which honestly, man, that might have been my favorite part of TAC. Those novelty shoots. At first, you know, you see a couple of the guys shooting the steel targets. I think Lacrosse, like, had a boot there. You hit the little target in the steel boot, you got entered in for a drawing. They had another target there, too, another steel target. I don't remember what that was. I don't think I shot at that one. But the really cool one was where Sitka, they had a ram, a bighorn ram, bighorn sheep. Way up on the mountain. It was at 100 yards. I tell you what, Joey stepped up right away. He took a couple shots at it, and he wasn't doing bad. It was pretty cool. They were giving away, you know, gift cards or gift certificates to anyone that, you know, 12 ring the sheep. And, I mean, can you imagine 12 ringing a sheep at 100 yards? Sitka stepped up, made an announcement, and said, "All right, everybody get in line. First person to 12 ring the sheep wins this backpack." And it was a backpack like with a full Sitka kit, probably thousands of dollars of gear. So sure enough, man, Joey's up to bat. And I say, "Let's see what you got, dude." He draws back, lets his first one go. Now, remember, 15 mile an hour crosswind. And, you know, he's leading it some. He's probably aiming it, you know, the tip of the nose, thinking it'll guide it into the vitals. Now he ends up putting it, you know, right in the butt. And I said, "Oh, you're about 2.5 feet left." Elevation was good. So knocks his next arrow. I'm assuming he probably tried to counter the wind a little more. Well, that wind picked right back up. Put it, I mean, an inch away from the last arrow. So his third shot, I said, "You know, lead it a little more, man. You know, you put it right there with that last one." And maybe he led it a little more. Maybe the wind picked back up. But I kid you not, dude, at 100 yards, 45 degrees up a hill, he put three shots in like the size of a quarter. I said, "You're grouping incredibly."
Yeah, that's insane. That's...
You're 2 feet to the left, but you're grouping phenomenally. Like, oh my gosh. Incredible group. So afterwards, he turned around and said, "Dude, you're up. And I'm thinking, oh, geez, I've never shot anything like that before. I mean, almost to the point where I was lowering my sight housing so much, I was dialing it down to where it was almost hitting my arrow. I mean, it was still clearing it. So I'm thinking to myself, do I really want to shoot this far? I'm going to have to put it all the way down to like 80, 85 and then compensate. And I'm thinking, you know what? I shoot that 3-pin horizontal, so I have 3 pins.
Yeah, I'm thinking, that's huge.
I'll just throw my lower marker down to 100 and see what happens. So I get up there at the line, put that bottom marker all the way down, and I'm looking at my arrow, and I'm thinking, this is still going to hit. Because I did have to lower it just a touch lower than 80. And I'm thinking, what do I do here? This is gonna, my arrow's going to hit. I'm going to have to put it at like 95. And, oh, I know. I took my arrow, flipped it 180 degrees, so instead of fletching up... Yeah, man. Instead of fletching up, I put the two fletchings up, so they straddled my sight housing. That's how I did it. That's how I could shoot 100 yards. I did it. It cleared the sight housing. I cranked it down to 100 for my bottom pin. So here it goes. Drew back. I put it about 6 inches in front of its nose, and I squeezed it off, and I just saw that disco knock disappear up the mountain. Joey, he's got his 10x42s. He said a little bit left, maybe like a foot left. So I'm like, oh, okay. I said, how's elevation? Elevation's good. Sweet. That was kind of the big thing. Now I just got to play with the wind. So I'm right on elevation. Shot number two, I let that arrow fly and I just watched it disappear. I looked over at Joey. He said, you put it kind of right in the shoulder blade, neck area. So I'm like, okay. So I'm down about a foot to the right. I'll just try and split the difference. Arrow number three. Knock it upside down. Draw back. Put it 6, 12, 9 inches in front of the nose. I let it go. Looked over at Joey. He said, you got it. I said, yeah, hit the target all 3 times. Pretty cool. He says, no, you got it. I said, what? I wish I would have had my reaction on camera. He said, you just 12 ringed that sheep. I looked over at the guys on the spotting scope in the Sitka booth. And they looked down and they said, disco knock. That's me. They said, you're just outside the 12 ring in the 10. I'm like, oh my gosh. I missed the 12 ring at 100 yards on that sheep by about this much. Couldn't believe it, man. I was that close. Oh, I was just thrilled that I hit the target, to be honest, though. that was the win right there for me. Thinking back, man, it really kind of reminds us just how good of a time we had and kind of reinstills what we're in store for here down at TAC Indiana.
We're going to be packing a lot of rain gear, a lot of light weather gear, hiking boots, probably some shorts. It's going to be very, very hot.
Dude, I'm packing like nothing. I heard that TAC Indiana is like the toughest one terrain-wise. Mix in the August heat. Ugh.
Yeah, especially wearing shorts, though. I'm kind of afraid of the bugs. We're going to be right there, dude. Right on the border of Kentucky, just across the Ohio River is Kentucky. So I don't know how that river is going to be with bugs.
Oh, I'm wearing zip-offs.
Yeah, I think that's definitely a good move because if it gets hot, the bugs might be bad, especially if you're there. You're going
to
shoot a
target. You guys don't have anything to worry about.
You're going to shoot a target behind me.
The bugs are going to just be following me around.
I know, but as soon as you get close, they find me and they love me too.
Oh, that's true.
We're going to be wearing bug nets. Did you ever shoot your bow with a bug net yet?
That's going to be tough to see out of. Yeah, man, I wore it the other day hanging trail cameras, and just hanging the trail camera right in front of me was tough to see.
Maybe thermocells. Maybe we'll have to pack the thermocells.
Thermocells are coming for a ride, yeah.
Yeah, we could pop them right up in our bino harnesses right on the side. That might be a good move for when we're standing there waiting to shoot and stuff like that.
That's a good idea. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think we need to implement those.
We need to go on the offense, bring the battle to the bugs. Dude, it's so bad. We're just going to be decimated by gnats and mosquitoes. I'm excited, though. If it's half as fun as, you know, TAC up here in Pennsylvania was, it's still going to be a good time. And I'm sure it's going to be just as good. I just don't mix well with the heat. You know that wherever my ancestors were from, it was cold year round.
You do not do very well in the heat. You start to get a little bit warm. get a little sweaty, a little stinky. It's gonna be a rough one, man. We're all gonna be showing back up to the B&B stinking. Uh-oh. They're gonna smell us coming.
Oh yeah, it's gonna be rough. I call for a shower. Alrighty, guys, I think that'll do it for Mod 2 of the Modern Outdoor Dynamics podcast. If you like what you saw here, be sure to like and subscribe, and that way you'll catch us next time around. Thanks for tuning in.